The Oregon Shakespeare Festival is taking its work beyond the edge of the stage. OSF has been commissioning new plays for years about contemporary topics. Now it's also adding programs to its educational efforts to discuss the issues raised on the stage, but to discuss those issues in local communities. The Living Ideas program, as it is called, is meant to explore the local impacts of global issues, and in its write-up says it seeks to forge connections between individuals and communities through collaborative programming centered on topics inspired by the work on the festival's stages. We have two guests with us, both of them involved with the Oregon Conversation Project, which is working with Living Ideas at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. Michael Hibbert is from the University of Oregon, and Bruce Weber is from Oregon State University. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure.
So give us an idea. You come to this from some background. So Living Ideas is sort of grafted on top of the existing work of the Conversation Project. One of you want to tell us what that's been about for several years now? And, of course, the fingers point to Michael.
The Conversation Project, broadly, is a program of Oregon Humanities and brings people around the state on a variety of topics to facilitate conversations. Our conversation has been about the urban-rural divide in Oregon, and we have been in 12 or 13 communities around the state, ranging from Portland to Halfway, from Beaverton to Lakeview, talking about the issues that people in urban and rural Oregon confront together and the things that kind of separate them. And the Conversation Project, the Shakespeare Festival became aware of our topic in the Conversation Project and thought that it related to the new play by Lynn Nottage, Sweat, that has been playing for about a month and asked us if we would do a couple of conversations on the urban-rural divide as it relates to issues of deindustrialization and the transformations that are going on in rural Oregon and the implications and views of urban Oregon about that.
Bruce Weber, in the conversations about the urban-rural divide in Oregon, have issues like deindustrialization come up quite a bit? I mean, that has to be one of the major issues in rural Oregon, I would think.
Right. In rural Oregon, one of the things that we found is that people feel like they've been their destiny has been shaped by forces that are outside of their communities. And much of the conversation is about what happens in the urban centers and how that affects their lives in the rural places. And one of the major transitions, of course, that's happened in this state over the last several decades has been the timber industry has transformed itself from an industry in which there were 400 mills and very solid income jobs to a situation where there are now 100 mills and the jobs are fewer jobs. Some of them pay high, some of them pay not so well. And so that transformation has been the subject of a lot of our conversations in the rural parts of the state, not so much in the urban parts.
Is the perspective then often in the rural areas, particularly in the timber towns, that it is people who are from outside those rural areas who are making the decisions that lead to things like the mills closing down?
That's part of the perspective. I think that what we've seen over the last, say, 30 years or so is a transition in the economic base of these rural areas. Even the 100 mills that are still continuing, as Bruce mentioned, have many fewer workers than they did before because of automation and so on. And so a rural community that formerly saw itself as a timber community now might see itself as a retirement community or a tourist community or something like that. And so the people that define themselves as loggers and mill workers have a hard time finding a place for themselves in that new economy. And so part of it is what you said, that the decisions are being made by outsiders. But part of it is this transformation in the community itself.
There are now your Oregon Humanities involvement with Living Ideas essentially just began, what, yesterday?
We began yesterday when we drove down to participate in this program.
Okay, so I have a couple of questions about living ideas and events that have taken place already. I mean, have you been briefed on the things that have taken place thus far?
I believe this may be the inaugural event for this particular this type of conversation. It's not the inaugural event. There's been a bunch of other things that have gone on, Mike and I don't really aren't familiar with those, but what we are familiar with and what we'd like to talk about is the conversations that we'll be having tonight in Medford Library starting at 6 o'clock and tomorrow night in Ashland at the Ashland Library starting at 7 o'clock. So these are part of the Living Ideas program, and our part in it is to facilitate conversations among the people that come about both the urban-rural divide and how they think of themselves in terms of their Oregon or their connection with Oregon and with urban or rural Oregon, and also the issues that are raised in the play about the transformation of the economy.
I was about to ask if you had a chance to see the play. Actually, yesterday was Tuesday. Did you see it last night?
Yes, we did.
Uh-huh. What were your general? I've seen Sweat myself. It's about just to explain to the audience. It's about the pressures on the community of Reading, Pennsylvania, when a steel mill appears to be about to shut down. And what were your general takes on it?
Very powerful is my summary take on it. And although you know the steel industry in Pennsylvania is different than the timber industry in Oregon, there are a lot of parallels.
All right, we'll pick the conversation up on the other side of a break. Michael Hibbert and Bruce Weber are guests on the Jefferson Exchange. They are traveling with the Conversation Project run by Oregon Humanities, which dovetails with the work of the Living Ideas program at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival in talking about urban and rural Oregon and issues that face rural Oregon, like timber mills closing down. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange. We'll come back and talk more with Michael and Bruce and take your phone calls and emails when we come back to the Exchange in a minute 15. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We're talking today about the Oregon Shakespeare Festival's Living Ideas program, a way of extending the issues that are raised by the plays at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival beyond the stage and actually go out into the community. In this case, Living Ideas has hooked up with the Conversation Project of Oregon Humanities and brought Michael Hibbert from the University of Oregon and Bruce Weber from Oregon State University. They travel together. Imagine that. Ducks and beavers. Anyway, they are in Ashland and Medford tonight and tomorrow. Medford tonight, Ashland tomorrow at the public libraries to host conversations about rural versus urban Oregon and the issues that they see in uniting those regions. A lot of these prompted by the appearance of the play Sweat at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, which is about the decline of industry, in this case in Reading, Pennsylvania, but it's something very familiar to mill towns in Oregon. You can join the conversation here and now on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. We just got Michael Hibbert's take on having seen Sweat last night. Bruce Weber, let's get your take on the play.
I was struck by the parallel, of course, with what likely happened in many mill towns in Oregon. But the transformation of the economy is not just a rural phenomenon. I mean, urban people people in Reading, Pennsylvania, our urban people were affected by the same things. What I've been trying to figure out, and what I hope we can talk about tonight, is how these issues affect both rural and urban places. And one of the things that struck me about the play was how that could have been played out in either a rural or an urban place, and how the intensity of the friendships breaking up over because of the transformation in their jobs. Struck me as something which was a very local and what will be interesting to explore is the connections that people make between the changes in their lives and the larger economy, both in the places that they live and in other places.
It is a very intimate play. It is largely set in a bar. Never more than five or six people on the stage at any given time. They have relationships with one another. We don't get to meet mill owners. We don't get to meet union bosses. There are no mass rallies or anything like that. A lot of stuff happens off stage that you hear about later on, like we were locked out of the factory, that sort of thing. So this is the general tone of Sweat, told through the relationships, and people have to convey within their own imaginations the things that are happening at the factory because we're never actually in the factory.
Right. I mean, what was so striking was you could tell that the friendships had been very long-lasting. These people had worked together for 20 years on the floor of the factory, and the change, the shutdown or the threatened shutdown of the plant then brought them their lives started to unravel on stage, both and at and many different generations, fathers and mothers and sons, and were all affected by this. It was very painful actually to watch the unraveling of the relationships over this time.
So, for you guys as facilitators, how do you start a conversation that includes this play, which a lot of people coming to the sessions may not have seen, and be able to get things rolling from there?
Yeah, this is a thing that we have struggled with a little bit. I don't think that you have to have seen the play to engage the conversation. I think that people's experience of having gone through the deindustrialization process, having gone through the changes that we've seen in Oregon, or that, as Bruce said, probably people have seen wherever they lived over the last 20 or 30 years, they'll be able to draw on the resource of their own experience, whether they've seen the play or not. And to your question, what we will do is ask people about their backgrounds and to talk about themselves, and we'll also share a bit about ourselves to get the ball rolling. One a little off the point thing that I would say is that in the play, and I think also in mill towns in Oregon and every place else, one of the things that happens when this deindustrialization process goes through is people's self-image or self-concept is challenged, and people have to really think about who they are and what their life is all about. And that's the sort of common thing that we hope will come out of the conversation is getting some people to share those ideas about themselves and in a non-threatening kind of way.
Michael Hibbert and Bruce Weber from the Conversation Project of Oregon Humanities are our guests on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about the Living Ideas series of Oregon Shakespeare Festival, dovetailing in with the Conversation Project. I think it was you, Bruce, who mentioned that deindustrialization is not just something that happens in rural areas. It obviously happens in urban ones as well. And I wonder, as you have talked, as you mentioned, Michael, from going from Portland to Halfway, if you've had lots of stories from urban areas as well. I mean, when you talk about things like Freightliner shutting down its factory in the Portland area, these are things that people relate to in all cities and towns in Oregon, I would think.
Well, I think that's correct. But in some sense, the conversation depends on who shows up. And if a bunch of industrial workers in Portland came to a conversation, we'd have a different conversation than if a bunch of managers from Portland came to the conversation. And so, long story short, we have been focusing on urban versus rural in the conversations up to now. And so we get a lot of takes on what do urban people think about what's going on in rural areas and what do rural people think about what's going on in urban areas. And deindustrialization has been sort of a background topic. In this case, I think deindustrialization will come to the foreground because of the connection with Sweat.
But even in cases where people aren't, this is not a central issue in their life, the conversations are a lot about attachments. Mm-hmm. It's where, and our focus has been on attachments to place and how attached are people to the places where they currently live. And we find last night in the play, the people were very attached to the place where they worked and the place where their parents had worked and their grandparents had worked. So there was an attachment to place in last night's play as well. I guess our really opportunity in these conversations is to explore both attachments to place and attachments to other things that define who we are.
I noticed that in Sweat as well, the bartender, and among others, talking about, you know, well, I worked at the mill, my dad worked at the mill, my dad's dad worked at the mill,
right.
At the steel mill in this case, but it's a story I heard a lot in 30 years of covering timber towns in Oregon as well.
Sure.
You mentioned, Michael, that it really depends on who shows up. So at a lot of the conversation project events, I mean, who are the people who tend to come out? I mean, when you're publicizing through public radio, you're going to hit one stripe of the audience. I don't know where else you tend to put your stuff out there. But I know we've had a fair number of chats about Conversation Project offerings, and I have no idea to this day who are some of the people who end up coming out to the events.
And I don't want to keep doing it depends, but it depends. it depends a lot on who the sponsor of the conversation is. So a typical sponsor might be the local library, for example. And so their outreach is to people who use the library and people who know about the library. And so in that case, that's who you get. Another example was the Downtown Rotary in Portland was a sponsor. And so you got a lot of people from Rotary or Rotary connections. And anticipating your question, we're going to be very interested to see who comes to these conversations in Medford and Ashland, because the main sponsor is OSF, and we don't really have a good feel for who their clientele, so to speak, might be.
I think one of the things I think that they're intending with this project is to bring local people together with other people who come from outside. So there will be, there could be at this event, some mixing of people who wouldn't ordinarily be in conversation. I think that's the hope and the aspiration. And it's been our experience, actually, that often the people that come to these do not have a connection with one another and come from quite different places and backgrounds.
We are talking to Bruce Weber and Michael Hibbard, involved with the Conversation Project of Oregon Humanities. They are talking on the road, still talking about uniting rural and urban Oregon. It rolls into the Living Ideas Project of the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, which is a fairly new program from its education department based on taking issues from the stage off into the communities. The play Sweat, that is a world premiere new to the Shakespeare Festival and the world this year, deals with issues of deindustrialization and its effects on communities and individuals within those. That's also on the table as part of the discussion. You can join us here on the Jefferson Exchange, and let's get your thoughts on art imitating life and vice versa, the decline of industrial America on stage and in real life. You might have some of your own experiences with this trend, and join us to share those, please. At 800-838-3760 by phone, 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. One of the things I've often admired about Oregon Humanities is its logo, the O-HM logo, which I'm sure it is distinctly hoped that you will produce that sort of reaction through the Oregon Conversation Project. So do you have some O-HM moments where, just like you were talking about, Bruce Weber, where people who don't normally interface with one another do come together in that realm?
So I can recall conversations where I come to these conversations to be changed. I hope that in the course of the conversation, what the exchange that happens will open some new lights for me. And I think as we've gone into this, I've tried to place myself in these different places and think about who it is that's coming and how they're related. And I do think I've seen a pattern of the people in the more rural parts of the place or of this state tend to focus on the divide across the mountains, for example, in the eastern part of the state. They are very conscious of their size relative to the western part of the state. And to see it from a perspective, because I live on the west side of the state, to see what it feels like to live in a very small place whose destiny has been affected by what decisions are made in Salem and Washington, D.C., it does help me to get a fuller picture of what the life is like for everybody in this state. And I think that's one of the things, at least, I hope to get out of these conversations.
How about some oh-hum moments for you, too, Michael Hibbard?
Well, the probably most surprising thing to me, I came into this with an assumption that there was kind of the northern Willamette Valley versus everything else. And people, for example, in Prineville saw urban as Bend. And so their perspective on urban versus rural was more of a regional perspective than a statewide perspective. And as Bruce said, I came to this hoping to learn something, and that was absolutely something that I learned from this, is that people are not necessarily taking a statewide perspective. Although we had imagined that this would be about, tax policy and a certain tax structure would affect urban or the Portland metro area differently than the rest of the state, it's really much more personal than that. It's much more about lifestyle, where people shop, how people think about one another, and so on. And if I could take one more minute, a second thing is that I think that rural people have a much clearer sense of the urban than urban people have a sense of the rural. That is, rural people have a better understanding of what urban people think about rural than urban people understand what rural people think.
So what are some of the misconceptions, for example, that the urban folks have about the rural folks?
I think urban people tend not to think about the rural people. I mean, I think their focus is on where the energy is that they see in the cities. And the rural, for the most part, is irrelevant to their lives. And the people that live in the suburbs are much more aware of what goes on in the center than they are of what goes on in the periphery outside of the suburbs. What was sort of an aha moment for me was to see how the energy and the thought process that people go through focuses on the centers, and just like Mike said, the rural people pay much more attention to what goes on in the urban centers than the urban people pay attention to what's going on in the rural part.
We have a call on the line. You guys are going to need headphones for this. It's from Carter in Wolf Creek. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about urban and rural Oregon and the Living Ideas Project of the Oregon Shakespeare Festival with Michael Hibbard and Bruce Weber from Oregon Humanities, the Conversation Project.
Yeah, this is a call from the rural area.
Yeah, Wolf Creek is that.
For better or for worse, I sometimes during the year live in an urban area, and right now I'm living in a rural area. And I very much appreciate the last comment about the contrast in awareness in the two different places about each other. And I recently, for example, picked up a magazine called Brooklyn Magazine. It was a two-year-old issue. And I'll tell you, as a rural person leafing through the pages of Brooklyn Magazine, I was not inspired by the contents. Okay? To go to the heart of this thing, deindustrialization needs to be applied, as has been discussed to some extent in this program, to one's person. And that immediately involves spiritual dimensions and the question, who am I? And, of course, the question, who am I, is very interesting because It is cast in the verbal realm, and it has no answer there. And another approach to this would be the Descartesian lie, I think, therefore I am. And, of course, thinking is necessary in the doing process, which is industrialization. And if you notice in the first I, in I think, therefore I am, that is referring to the simple fact that I think. But the second I is very egotistical, saying I have presence because I think. And the reason why this is a lie is because I can sit here and say nothing and think nothing, and I'm still present.
All right, Carter, you burned some brain cells on us there. We're going to have to take a short break and regroup and be able to answer the question. Actually, we have to take the break anyway. Carter, thanks for the call. We'll come back and talk more about the divide between urban and rural Oregon and deindustrialization and how Oregon Shakespeare Festival's sweat fits into all this with Michael Hibbert and Bruce Weber from the Conversation Project of Oregon Humanities back on the Jefferson Exchange to answer the big question, who am I, in a minute 30. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We're talking today, it's a very broad field, actually, but generally about the divide between urban and rural areas, which is the general content of what the folks at the Oregon Conversation Project through Oregon Humanities are talking about on the road in Medford tonight and Ashland tomorrow night. Michael Hibbert and Bruce Weber from the Conversation Project join us here. The Conversation Project is being sponsored in Medford and Ashland by the Living Ideas Project at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, which is about taking the themes that are established in some of the Shakespeare plays and taking them off the stage into the community. In this case, the play is Sweat by Lynn Nottage, a world premiere this year at the festival, dealing with the deindustrialization of a steel town, Reading, Pennsylvania, which obviously bears some echoes in timber towns in Oregon. You can join Michael Hibbert and Bruce Weber and me as we talk about this. Let's get your own perspective on what you've watched happen in timber towns throughout Oregon and, for that matter, on the California side as well. Calls are welcome at 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. And we're still following up with Carter in Wolf Creek and his long discussion about people answering the question, who am I? And you had some thoughts about that, Bruce Weber.
Yeah, I think the Carter had a couple of things that were very important and interesting. I mean, one of is about attachments and identity. And that, of course, is something that you get when you are involved in conversation. You have to sort of think about those things. But the other thing that he said, which I thought was very interesting, was that he spends part of his life in urban and part of his life in rural. And that we found that true to be true in our conversations generally. People often have multiple locations that they identify with, and that I think is also an important part of the conversation.
Well, and that was the thing that you brought up, Michael, about the fact that for folks in Prineville, urban Oregon is Bend, was it 30 miles away or so, but not Portland and not Eugene, which is a much, much longer drive. But the fact is that, you know, for all the people who, even if they do frequent an urban area in addition to living in a small town or vice versa, they're still going to think of that as that's the Oregon I know, which is still a different Oregon from somebody who, for example, does their major shopping in Boise and comes back to live in Nyssa, Oregon, over there in the Mountain Time Zone. And so you've had to deal with vastly different views of what is Oregon.
Yes, and just to build a little on what Bruce said and also the comments from Carter, what is Oregon or what is rural Oregon is in transition, and I think that's problematic, and it comes up in the play Sweat as well. One of my favorite little stories about this is from Bernie Agrons, who is a state representative from Klamath Falls.
I remember him, yes.
When deindustrialization began to hit the timber industry and it started to look like these timber towns might have to transition into something else, he gave a very stern warning that he was concerned that the transition would make people strangers in their hometowns. So a town that's transitioning from timber to, say, a retirement community, the people who identified as mill workers, as loggers, would have a hard time finding an identity for themselves in this new retirement community. And we definitely, in traveling around the state, have heard about that problem of people trying to figure out a new identity for themselves and being very reluctant to give up their old identity. And that's part of the story of Sweat.
As you move through the various cities and towns you go to with the Conversation Project talking about urban and rural Oregon, and as you pointed out several times now, the conversation is very different depending upon who shows up. How, though, for example, do you keep the conversations from turning into a bashing session on big timber or the strictures of the Endangered Species Act?
Sometimes we don't.
the people come with different hopes for the conversations, and I guess our hope is that when people come to the conversation, they'll come to learn about other people's perspectives on the places that they live or that they've lived in the past, and often that is related to the jobs that they've had and the experiences that they've had through life. And I guess we'll be interested to see. There was a multi-generational perspective in Sweat, and we'll see, and hopefully there'll be multiple generations at the conversations, because different generations have different experiences of the places that they've lived, and to get this, I'm hoping that we can get this conversation going tonight about places based on people's lives.
All right, so the session tonight is at the Medford Library, 6 to 9 p.m., is that right?
Correct.
And at the Ashland Library tomorrow night, and it's been advertised as 6 to 9 p.m., but you're saying it's at 7 o'clock.
It's at 7 o'clock.
Okay, and Ashland. So give us an idea, since this is, you've done the Uniting Rural and Urban Oregon discussion before, but then how do you roll Sweat into that at the session tonight, and what's the general structure for the Conversation Project anyway?
Well, to answer your first question first, we don't assume that people have seen the play, mm-hmm. but we hope that they have some sense of what it's about, and so we're not going to really focus on the play per se. We're going to focus on the urban-rural divide, deindustrialization, people's sense of themselves in the community, and that sort of thing, and the structure really is a conversation. It is not a lecture. We're not there to tell people things or deliver information or something like that. We're there to foster a discussion among everyone who's there, and we'll participate in the discussion. We'll have some questions to get things started, and then the conversation will go where it goes. I would say that people come with sort of a double mindset typically. One is that they have some things that they want to say or some points of view that they want to express, but at the same time they're open-minded and want to hear what other people have to say. So the conversation typically doesn't become argumentative in the way that you kind of hinted at a few minutes ago. So people state their opinions forcefully, and they listen to the opinions that other people state forcefully.
That's a major accomplishment in this day of cable news screaming heads, isn't it? So how long have you been having the discussion about rural and urban Oregon? And there's a follow-up that will make it clear why I asked this in a second.
Okay, well, so we got – Mike and I have been working together now for 30 years, and we've been working with Ethan Seltzer at Portland State University as well. So the three of us have focused on these issues of the rural-urban divide for a number of years, and we got together 4 years ago, we co-edited a book on called Toward One Oregon on the rural-urban divide. That prompted the Oregon Humanities conversation, which started 2 years ago. So we've been in this Mike and I and Ethan have been in this conversation for 30 years, but we're now, for the last 2 years, have been going around the state focusing on these things.
And the reason I ask the question is because I'm wondering if the intensity seems to pick up a little bit as you get closer to an election, and how many of these conversations you've had close to an election season.
I'm conscious of dead air. I don't see a pattern around elections, because we haven't really been focusing so much on policy issues kind of people's experiences of urban versus rural and their sense of the larger situation.
And what have been the crowds like over the time you've been doing the project, the conversation project?
Some of them have been quite intimate conversations, half a dozen people. Some of them have been larger, 30, 35 people. Conversations work better if you have a dozen or maybe two dozen people. I mean, that would be the sizes that where the conversations are really exchanges among people who have different points of view. But we can work with any size. Mm-hmm. I mean, conversations can be any size.
One of the more interesting things was in Paisley, where the whole high school showed up.
Really?
But there's not that many in the Paisley High School.
It's Northern Lake County. This is probably a graduating class of 25, I'm thinking, at a good year.
Yeah.
And they had several international students was part of their, which was an unexpected thing in Paisley to see a number of international students who board at the school.
Oh, that's right. They board them. Yes, yes, yes. So, okay.
So it was a fascinating conversation, actually. And people from both Paisley, who had grown up there, and people who had grown up in other parts of the world were all part of this conversation.
You mentioned a little while ago, Bruce, about the eastern-western Oregon split, and I don't know if you've noticed as strong a split north and south, because there's still the issue of once you get south of Roseburg, the climate and the topography are a bit different from what you get in the Willamette Valley,
yeah.
and leading to, of course, things like the mythical state of Jefferson, for which Jefferson Public Radio is named, and so forth, But I just wonder if that's as distinct a split north and south as you find east and west of the Cascades.
Yeah, I don't know that I've focused so much on the north-south split. The conversation we had in Grants Pass, for example, was focused on southern Oregon. I mean, that was a rural Josephine County Grants Pass kind of a conversation. But people in Portland generally don't think about Southern Oregon, I think, as a gross overgeneralization, as much as perhaps the people in the state of Jefferson think about people in the north.
Mm-hmm. What do people propose? I mean, is it more than a we like to call events day here on the Jefferson Exchange? I assume at some point it gets to be more than that, and people make suggestions about ways in which rural and urban Oregon can be drawn closer together. I'm curious to know what some of the suggestions have been.
So there are suggestions sometimes about ways that they can be drawn closer together, but there are also, as you might imagine, suggestions in the other direction, especially in rural communities. Are there ways that we could be further apart? And that would be a good thing.
But there are examples of conversations that have had west side, east side, for example. I think the one that's the sort of iconic one is about the wolves that people in a school district in the Portland area were making statements about wolves, and people in the eastern part of the state engaged them in that conversation. Mm-hmm. And I think that ultimately is the kind of thing that we've come out of the conversation with, is where there are conversations across what is perceived as a divide and what is a divide in many ways, a lot of learning happens, and people do get a sense of what it's like. The school kids in the Portland area got a sense of what it was like to live on a ranch, for example, and the perspective of the wolf from the rancher's life and livelihood. And that's, I think, what I come away with these conversations is there is a desire in many cases to have those conversations so that people aren't locked into these positions that are based in many times and not very full knowledge of the situation.
What would you say has been the trickiest place to get a conversation started? I mean, you've been to places large and small, and I'm just curious to know if there's one that particularly sticks out in your mind. I mean, you've mentioned a couple of moments for each of you.
Yeah. Well, Bruce may have a different take on this, but it hasn't been tricky to get a conversation started because, of course, people who come to the conversation want to talk.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a tricky part to it, it's when one or two people have a lot to say, and it's difficult for others to get a word in. I suppose if I were a better facilitator, I would know how to politely ask the people to shut up.
I find on the radio you have to say a lot and make them realize they're using up a lot of time, which you haven't been, by the way. So the sessions are, again, in the Rogue Valley tonight at 9, at 6 rather. Tonight is the 9th at 6 at the Medford Library. And then tomorrow night at 7 at the Ashland Library, and it is Toward One Oregon, Uniting Rural and Urban Oregon. And you attempt to roll some of the issues of sweat from the Oregon Shakespeare Festival in there as well.
And I would say, just in sort of a follow-up to Mike's comment about the conversations, is that I can recall one conversation where this has been an issue. And most people, as Mike said, come to the conversations both to talk and to listen, and that's been our experience. Most of the conversations have been like that.
All right. Sounds like fascinating work. I very much appreciate you sharing it with us. Bruce Weber from Oregon State University, Michael Hibbard from the University of Oregon, both with the Conversation Project, Oregon Humanities, rolled in with the Living Ideas Program at Oregon Shakespeare Festival. Thank you so much for joining us today on The Exchange.
Thanks for having us.
Our pleasure.